Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN on this Veterans Day. I'm Luis Hernandez. There are tens of thousands of vets enjoying this holiday in the comfort of their own home. There are also thousands who are struggling with homelessness. According to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, there are about 2,800 homeless vets on any given day living in Florida. One of those used to be Ashley Esposito. She's a Navy veteran who's from Miami. After leaving the Navy, she eventually ended up back home, but she battled with emotional and physical challenges and then soon found herself homeless. That wasn't until she met Seth Eisenberg of the Sacred Trust, a group funded by the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now she's finishing school and helping veterans get back into civilian life. We spoke to Esposito and Eisenberg about those challenges and about helping veterans. We've reached out to the South Florida Department of Veterans Affairs to confirm Ashley Esposito was employed with the organization and provided the opportunity for them to speak on our air. They confirmed Ashley's employment, but declined the opportunity to speak on the program.
When you're in the military and just say that you have housing problems, you can go take out a loan. They'll put you in base housing. There are so many options that you have as a military personnel. When you get out into civilian world, it's not like that. You know, you don't know where to go. You don't know who to ask for help. You don't know anything about government funding. There's no one telling you, oh, you can go here and get help because you're a veteran.
They don't prep you? They don't prepare you for what's coming next?
No, you go through a program called TAPS, and they tell you about all your medical benefits and things like that. But when I was in, there was nothing. I'm not sure now what they have now, but when I got out, there was nothing.
What did you want to do when you got back into civilian life? Where were your goals?
I wanted to be a chef. I love cooking. To this day, I have a family of chefs. My grandmother, my mother, we've always, like when I was growing up, we would sell dinners to like various businesses. Like that was our passion. I was the cook of my squadron. Everyone would ask me, hey, Ashley, could you make this for our squadron? And I would cook for 200 people by myself.
So everything seemed so promising.
Yes.
Life seemed promising. You were starting a new family, but then things started to unravel. You eventually ended up homeless. You were also dealing with a lot of physical pain and injuries.
Yes.
From your military service.
I could not become I started doing my chefing. That's what I call it. But then my back started killing me. And I was like, what's going on? I went to the doctor and I found out at 26 that I had arthritis in my back. So I even got a job with the Copacabana, the New York company where you see I Love Lucy and Ricky. I worked with them. I was helping design menus. They tried to open up a restaurant down here. I was working there, but I couldn't because my back was just, it felt like someone was stabbing me in my back.
You were in the hospital for a while at one point.
From having seizures.
And this is around the time when you eventually ended up homeless?
That was one of the times that I ended up homeless, yeah.
So the military gives you very basic preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You go through this TAPS program, which is the Tragedy Assistance Program for survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And here you find yourself in this situation, you're homeless. Where did you go? Who did you turn to?
I went to the VA. I was like, I need help. They gave me a sheet of paper of like 50 numbers to call. I'm going through this. I also have mental health issues that I'm trying to work with. I'm going there trying to get help. And me and my kids are homeless, and you want me to call 50 people.
So when you call the VA, wait, what did they give you?
They gave me a list. I went to the VA. They told me to go see my social worker. And this social worker has to deal with like 300 people. One social worker for each team. They have red team, blue team, geriatrics for the older people. And this person has to help every one of these people. So I went there. They was like, oh, yeah, we have programs. Take this list and just call them. And I was like, okay, this is going to take me forever. And then I started calling them. Oh, we have no funds. Oh, no, we only help with light bills. Oh, no, we only help with this. Oh, no, we only help with that. It was excruciating.
Seth, let me bring you in. You hear this story a lot.
I do.
I mean, you know, first of all, when someone like that comes in, someone like Ashley comes in and starts telling you her story, I mean, what's the first thing? What do you say?
I say, thank you, God, for bringing Ashley in. I think about the 20-plus veterans every single day who never make it in because they take their lives before they reach out for help. I think how lucky we are to have friends, family, and social supports that we can fall back on. So whether it's a medical issue or a career issue or a mental health issue, that we have people that can be there to help lift us up and help us sustain life.
And you hear her story and some of the things that were going on in her life, and she's dealing with, like a lot of veterans, mental health issues, physical pain and challenges, and then she ends up homeless. Are these the common things you see in veterans?
You see, veterans are a very diverse community. You know, there are millions of veterans out there. Each person has their own wishes, hopes, and dreams, their own passions. What they have in common is they've been through extensive training to be warriors. And that part of what people learn to be warriors is to be strong, which some people interpret as meaning don't be vulnerable. Act like everything's okay, which some people might interpret as when things aren't okay, don't tell anybody. You know, get your act together, where a lot of people say, if it's not really together, I'd rather die than let people know that. So that training is a common experience for the warriors who protect each of our families. What happens after the military is that people go through very human challenges. The challenges, the struggles, the barriers and roadblocks people run into, they're very normal. But when you add to that the training of a warrior and the idea that I have to keep it to myself, that I can't confide, that I can't say I don't know, that I don't know how to have the conversations with friends, family, and loved ones who might be able to be there for me. That's something that's a life and death issue for many people every day.
Where is the VA doing a good job, and where are they consistently, you know, challenged with problems?
So the VA, like any organization, is people that wake up and go through everything in life that other people go through. What someone like Ashley needed when she reached out was a team of people to be there for her. She was always ready to do her part, but she needed people that had the time, energy, and resources. What the VA does, and it's part of how Operation Sacred Trust came to be, is when the VA really looked at what was behind homelessness and how come the numbers were continuing to go up despite enormous investments within the VA, is they realized that every veteran needed an individual attention and support and services based on each veteran's unique wishes, hopes, dreams, passions, experience, and circumstances. So the VA started to fund public-private partnerships, and they allowed organizations like Operation Sacred Trust to reach out and say, here's what we would do, so that when Ashley reaches out, not only can we help her overcome the immediate challenge, but also not have to ever go through that again.
And so so people understand that the Sacred Trust, I mean, this is at your link to the VA, you're funded by the VA.
The VA has provided tens of millions of dollars of funding for agents, ours and other agencies in Florida, so that these public-private partnerships, which include the VA, can come together 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
I'm talking with Ashley Esposito, Petty Naval Officer, Third Class, and Seth Eisenberg, the president and the founder of the Sacred Trust. We're talking about the issue of homelessness among former service members. So you found Sacred Trust. You found Seth.
Yes.
When you met him, I mean, what happened?
I walked in the office, and I was crying with my two children. And he just happened to walk out. And he was like, what's the matter? Come sit down on this couch and talk to me. And I was like, no one's helping me. They fed me and my kids. And he was like, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm not going to leave you until I know that you're okay. And it was like a guardian angel. Because finally, after all of these times, someone actually said, I'm going to help you. Not let me call you back. Not fill out this paperwork and we'll let you know in 48 hours or a week. You know, he was like, we're going to put you up in a hotel. It's okay. He was like, you're not going to have to cry anymore.
So Seth, tell us real quickly, how does the Sacred Trust help people like Ashley to make that transition into housing and into work and so forth.
So the moment Ashley comes to Sacred Trust or any of thousands of other Ashleys that we're honored and privileged to serve, the first conversation is, what do you want for the future of your life? What's important to you? And then how do we put all of our resources together so that you now have a team of 25 people? So if you need legal supports, we have attorneys from the University of Miami that will give you legal supports. If you need help with the security deposit to move into housing, we have recent funds to provide security deposits. If you need a counselor to help you find the right neighborhood, where you want to live, where you want to work, we can do that. If you need job training, we can do that. What Ashley and others need when they reach out is a whole team of people to get to work for them. And when you think about it, it takes expertise to understand what resources are available in a community. And when someone's going through crisis or trauma, just saying, call this number or go to this address, that's usually not the answer.
Ashley, you went to work with the VA eventually.
I quit my job with Miami-Dade when I finally found a job to work at the VA because I got tired of seeing how nasty the people are. Like, those people, they talk to you any type of way. They have no passion for helping veterans. It's like, you know, they're federal government workers who is very hard to fire, and they shift people around when, just say, they make a mistake.
You understand how somebody on the outside hears that,
yes,
and we're thinking, wait a minute, but it's Veteran Affairs.
Yes.
It's supposed to be there for veterans, and you're saying there's a lot of dispassionate people.
It's like you're just another number. And I've told so many of them when I worked there, I say, if it was not for us, you wouldn't have this freedom of speech to speak to me the way that you are. And second of all, you wouldn't have a job because your sole reason for being in that chair is to help a veteran. So if you can't do that, there's a lot of veterans and other civilians that want your job.
And when you were in there, were you trying to change things?
I did. I helped a lot of, especially the elderly veterans. I helped a lot of them. I helped a lot of the veterans who were prideful because we're taught, do not come to the military with a problem without a solution. So I told them that they have to let that go and get help. I helped a lot get service connected. I helped them with getting prosthetic parts. I would go to their doctors and be like, listen, I need you to put in this console because this veteran needs help.
Is it the people or is it the system? You know, you go in and you had this experience and now you're trying to make things better, but is the system just needs to be tweaked so that more people would do the right thing, or is it just the people?
No, it's the system, because this is happening all over the United States. I just feel that what the VA really needs, for one, they need to target specific people. Like, I'm working very hard with a congressman, and I even met Ben Carson, because I want to set up a program that helps single parents get on their feet.
You were there for just a couple of years, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was there for 2.5 years.
And we talk about that this is a problem nationwide. The census, looking at the census figures, we have about 2,700 homeless veterans right now in Florida. Seth, what do we know about where they are? What do we know about what's going on with them?
We know a lot about what's going on with them. Operation Sacred Trust since 2010 has dealt with thousands of South Florida veterans who are either homeless or on the verge of homelessness. We have an amazing track record of ending homelessness in the lives of our veterans. Homeless veterans can be anywhere. What homeless veterans have in common is that they've gone through a crisis and there's no family, friends, or social supports to fall back on. But what we can do about it is each do our part.
Ashley, as a society, what is it that we need to be doing, better for veterans? I mean, you know, people will have probably come up and said, thank you for your service. You've probably seen people wear the ribbon. But what do those things mean? And really, what is it that veterans would prefer? What do we need to know better?
For one, when you say thank you for your service, that's really uncomfortable for us. Because we don't know, like, we're like, you're welcome. But, you know, we don't feel like heroes. We don't. And if you talk to any, like, veteran, they'll tell you, I was just protecting my country. But we don't feel like heroes. And when you come back to this country, you really don't feel like heroes, because you will be very surprised. You can have your hat on saying that you fought in the war. You may get two people to say thank you for your service, but there's not a lot of civilian people who are supporting veterans. And then when we tell a lot of people what we've been through, and this is the reason why we don't talk about our struggle, they're like, okay, and? You know, they don't understand that we left our families. We sat beside someone who didn't come back home. You know, we've seen a lot of tragedy for our country. So, you know, I feel that civilians need to have a little bit more sympathy, because at the end of the day, this is still the greatest country in the world to live in, and you should be thankful.
Ashley, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. And Seth, thank you so much for sharing as well and everything that you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You heard from Ashley Esposito, Petty Naval Officer, 3rd Class, and Seth Eisenberg, the president and founder of the Sacred Trust. We've been discussing the challenges of helping end homelessness among veterans as a tribute on this Veterans Day. Well, still to come, we're going to talk to a civil rights legend that you may know very little about. That's next on Sundial here on WLRN.